Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday afternoon. Kamala Harris did an interview yesterday on MSNBC, and she's got some new tricks in her bag, and she brought them, I think, just one new trick.
Looking holistically at the connection between that and housing, and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
You're becoming like my most stable relationship.
Enough said.
Holistically, Tyrus, we're happy to have you back. Thanks for being here with us today.
Always a pleasure.
What do you make of Kamala Harris? She's doing the same. There's never a new thing. Kamala Harris every time is word salad, no details, and we get the same thing each and every time she gets the opportunity to talk.
Well, it is what she's not saying is what she's saying. I think that what we've seen for the last 3.5 years is her plan. It is there. Joe Biden wasn't making those decisions. We just saw him on The View where he had to be coached to talk well about himself. They said bug, he slapped the table. Yeah. They thought it was clever. I thought it was a cry for help. So I just, she's not going to say anything new because as far as they're concerned, with the progress, she's a progressive, as most progressive with a capital P as you can get. The cabinet was made to her liking, progressive picks, DEI hires. This has been her administration with, I guess, Pelosi calling the shots. So she's not going to, she can't say what she's not about. And she is about, but it's unpopular. They think they know better than the American people do. Yeah. They think they know better than everyone who's struggling in their house right now, deciding between electric bill and car payments and everything else that Americans are going through right now. But the progressive plan is exactly what it is. And she's going to do this for another 4 years if she's elected. And then, you know, but she'll say anything at this point because they're losing, they're panicking. So they're trying to say like, oh, they're going to be the same choices as Trump, except it's not Trump. So you'd vote for her. That's their plan, is to try to say they're going to do the same thing Trump is doing without Trump, even though it's all, you know, we know what it is.
Tyrus, I've heard you say multiple times, specifically on Gutfeld, that you don't think that this election is going to be close. Do you think that?
No, this election isn't close at all.
Do you think that the Harris camp is like shocked by the fact that it's not close, or that people aren't more into her?
This is why they're doing what they're doing. This is why the scrambling. This is why all the surrogates are out arguing and attacking President Trump, and even to the fact that they're continuing to ramp up the rhetoric against him, considering there's been 2 attempts on his life, because they're losing. They're so far behind that this is where we're at with them. So it's not a close election. Used to be people would say like, oh, hey, I love you, what you do on Fox, but, you know, I can't say anything. People, I just was in the Chicago airport. They're yelling at me from across the aisle, like, Tyrus, what it is? We love Fox. So it's, you know, I don't, it's not the same vibe.
Mm-hmm. I
compare this election, this is the same thing as the Mulvaney Bud Light situation where they got away with their stuff until the actual Americans who work for a living, who don't watch news all day, who don't sit on Instagram and social media all day, said, "Oh no, we're not buying this anymore." And within a day, Bud Light was done for. Still hasn't recovered. So you got the attention of the working American people, and there has not been any situation where I'm seeing Kamala Harris bumper stickers and everything else. She can't do an event without it being a major celebrity there. She was on Oprah. That should have stole the night, but it didn't. It was President Trump on the Gutfeld show that stole the night.
Yeah.
The ratings don't lie. So again, whereas before that would have been the other way around. So I think it sounds good to get people to tune in to this polling stuff, but this election is not, I don't think it's close at all. And I think they know it too. That's why you're seeing a lot of the big guns are doing less and less, and they're writing group letters. I mean, not being endorsed by the Teamsters. There's enough stuff going on that if you just take a look at it, and I think the American feeling across the board is we've seen enough here. I think that's the catchphrase.
Do you feel, Tyrus, like, you know, with the whole Bud Light thing and the Dylan Mulvaney thing and this election, I really wonder if America over the last, it's probably, what, 15, 20 years? It might go back to Obama 2008 when everyone got jazzed over hope and change. Do you feel like over that course of time, America has shifted their opinions, you know, when you want to talk about things that are woke? Or did our patience just finally run out? I have a philosophy that Americans are nicer. They don't want to really offend people, but you push them to the brink and then they'll show up to defend themselves or what they love. But I don't know. I don't know which one it is here. Did we change our minds, or are we just no longer dealing with it?
In my opinion, I think it was whenever somebody brings something to the table in this country claiming that they've been wronged or they're, you know, not represented enough or whatever their issue is, the American culture will embrace them and be like, what can we do for you? And you will see a genuine effort from everyday people to incorporate whatever group it is that's claiming wrongdoing. And that's kind of the thing that makes America different. And what we saw was a prostitution of that, to where they were seeing how long they could push limits, how long they could go after people, canceling people, this fake outrage of virtue signaling. And a lot of Americans just were like, well, you know, we need to be better. Because when you throw things like everyone's a racist, and you throw things like everyone's misogynistic, and you do all these things, the first thing the average person wants to do is to separate themselves from that. So they kind of get almost a grace period of where they're able to do this stuff. And like I said, I think it ran about 3 years of it. And then eventually, like, wait a minute, how many times are you going to cry wolf before we're like, hey, this is BS, this is not a real thing? And that's what we're seeing now. Like the woke thing and the fake outrage and the print, and it was all just basically a gross prostitution of Democratic policy so individuals could make committees and load their pockets with fact-finding committees for reparations and stuff like that, which was all a joke. It's just all stealing American taxpayers' dollars to put in a few pockets of the woke. It's just like a shady church where the reverend drives a Cadillac and everyone else has to share a Kia. You know what I'm saying? So it's like the same thing. And I think America's like, and eventually we catch up to it and they're like, enough. No, hell no, we're not doing this anymore. And as rightfully as they should, blaming people for stuff they had nothing to do with, just pulling stuff out of the air and saying that, you know, you're affected and slavery affected you and you live in 2024. No, that slavery is not affecting you. You're lazy and you're creative, but it's not, you're not, these adverse effects is not from slavery, it's from being spoiled, having too much of the American good life.
Yeah. Tyrus with us right now. You know him as a regular on Gutfeld. He's a Fox News contributor. You also absolutely should check out his latest book, Nuff Said. His first book was just Tyrus. You should read them both. But Nuff Said is out right now. Tyrus, I wanted to ask you about the Diddy situation and what your thoughts are on that. I think a lot of people don't know what to make of it. And anytime there's a lot of information that's not being shared, a lot of people want to fill in a lot of the gaps. But Diddy seems to be in a pretty bad way right now. Suicide watch.
In a tight spot. This is probably the one time where the baby oil might help.
Yeah. I see what you did there. What are your thoughts on the next, I don't know, 3, 6, 12 months of the Diddy story? Are we going to get answers?
The answers are when how many victims want to come forward or how many people that have been affected want to come forward. I think the bigger issue is all the willing participants. Diddy is sitting exactly where he should be. Never liked him. Never, the few times I interacted with him were never good. I wouldn't let him in a VIP section of a club I was working at. And not just because I didn't like his baby teeth, because that was just something about his teeth just felt off. He just seemed like an beady-eyed, mean guy, so I never really liked him, and I was right in that approach. But it's the bodyguards, the managers, the other celebrities. They knew exactly what was going on. They were complacent in it, and that bothers me. So I think probably what he'll do is, because if he had any integrity, he wouldn't have done the things that he has done. He'll start telling on everybody. And people are worried about the wrong things. They, regardless of whether he's telling or not, he should be held accountable. Now, everyone should be heard, and then it's up to courts to prove it, but it's pretty damning, the stuff that we're, and he videotaped most of it, so yeah. I think we'll get a good look at it. But again, it goes back to, and you hate to bring this up, but it seems that the social deviance and the disgusting behavior seems to be okay if you're on the left, as long as you're one of their guys, it seems to be okay until you get caught, and then all this outrage. But I pay attention to a lot of these CEOs of different companies that are resigning, probably because they're on those videotapes. I would be guesstimating. Why else would you? I think. But again, this just goes back to how bad the left has been corrupted by these progressive behaviors and sex trafficking clans and these groups of power, the men that think they're powerful by holding carrots of money over people's, making them, forcing them or asking them to do things. I think that in itself is terrible, but the people involved is not just him. It's a bigger thing. A guy like Diddy isn't able to do what he does unless he has people helping him do it.
Well,
just like Epstein's wife is sitting in jail, there should be a couple other people that are involved. And I think when we start to see things come out, we're going to be shocked, but not too shocked and not surprised. But a lot of these celebrities that claim to be about people aren't who they are and what they say they are. And again, the fact that these accusations are daunting. Like I said, I've always been like, one person makes an accusation, they should be heard, but you can weigh the... You can make an argument, you know, over a course, usually the history. But when you, the level of things he had, the arrogance to record things, the 785 sex toys and 2 metric tons of baby oil. I mean, it's just shockingly terrible that this was okay. You don't hide these things.
Yeah,
these were in plain sight. His staff knew about it. His managers knew about it. His people who work with him knew about it. The people in relation. I mean, this was not a man who was like a secret society. So I'll be very interested to see how much of this is tried to be covered away, because right now the acting the group that's in charge right now is the left in the White House. So I'll be very curious to see how Diddy is treated in these next few months, because I think some of the people that are going to be on these lists and on these names and in these parties, we're really going to be like, wow, you thought you knew somebody. So
do you feel?
I think that's the big scary thing.
You're the closest connection I'm probably going to get on this show to the rap industry. Does the Diddy story right now reflect on the whole rap industry in your mind? Is there?
I mean, there was rumors that Eazy-E did stuff like this. There's, you know, Suge Knight doesn't have the best, you know, reputation. Although his was more, I think, extortion. But it's not just the rap industry. It's the music industry in general. It's Hollywood. It's all of these. Because it's no longer, let's be honest, when we watch movies and stuff, it's not like we're watching Cary Grants and stuff anymore.
Sure, yeah.
Not these great actors and actresses, you know, like if you have the right look or you know the right person, all of a sudden you're in a movie. You know, so we're not seeing the same level of artistry that we used to see. It's corrupted, and if someone's good, they can blackball them and stuff like that. So in general, the elite, left elite, have had a pretty good run, and they've been able to do what they want to do, and it's starting to come down again. And I also think that has a lot to do with the changing of the philosophy of this country, to where we're starting to get back to morality, and we're starting to get back to no, this is not acceptable. So somebody had to do the right thing and step forward to turn them in, because this wasn't just good police work. You know, somebody finally, I'm sure they've had known about it. I'm sure there's no way, you know, I'm sure they've known about it for years. They couldn't prove anything, but something's changed, and we're starting to see a change, and hopefully more people who are doing things like that, they shouldn't be able to live the life of luxury while they torment and torture people. But at the same time, you also have to think about personal responsibility a little bit. You have to think, like, when I hear people like, well, I didn't have any choice because I really wanted an acting job. Maybe you're just not meant to be an actor.
Right.
Say no.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Have
like,
standards.
There's also got to be, you got to be the other side. It doesn't excuse the things that he did, but, you know, putting hands on a woman like he did in the hotel video and all that stuff. I'm sure that was more the norm than the rarity. To be that arrogant, to do it out in the open, which means you've had a lot of reps, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's enough bad things about him. I mean, you should now be questioning the Biggie Smalls death. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things you should be asking about this guy, because he clearly wanted to play gangster like he was on TV and stuff. So, but again, this is not this is not one group. This is unfortunately entertainment as a whole is controlled by elitist lefts, and apparently sex trafficking and sex parties and all this stuff just seems to be, it sounds terrible, but the norm.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, like, these people that go out and accept awards and sit next to them and take pictures, like, you're taking pictures and you know what's going on later in the night.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and I think the American people are ready to know the answers and get back to that moral understanding of right and wrong.
Yeah, I think that's where this election is going to be about. And this is where, to put this all into title a little bit, this is what the left and Kamala Harris don't see, is they just don't see or listen to the American people, because they know what's better, because it's their way. They're convinced it's their way. Their Marxist way is the way for them to have a bright future, because someone's got to bring in all the money and make the committees and all that kind of stuff. So it's profiting for them. It's a big, like, they've got a lot invested in this. So I think when it all comes crumbling down in a couple months, we're going to see a lot of people come forward or outed that we're going to be like, wow. And hopefully we can get back to where, you know, Hollywood and entertainment was about the best artists getting the best opportunity and not somebody who is willing to do things that the other artists wouldn't.
Yeah.
To get a record deal, like, or a movie deal, or worse, bastards like Diddy, who are able to build empires off the, unfortunately, the blood, sweat, and tears of other people.
Yeah, amen to that. Thank you, Tyrus, for talking to us about that. I was hoping you'd be willing to. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you again next week. We always love our conversations.
Yep, you have a great week.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye. Tyrus from Gutfeld, Fox News contributor, author, stand-up comic. You can see him as he travels around the country, and he has been a regular on this show since, I think, 2018. Good opportunity to speak with him weekly here. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Dory Murdoch's going to join us. He's going to talk a little bit about, I think he's going to talk about the rhetoric around the election right now. Is that it? Okay. Yes, we're going to talk to him about the Democrats and how they are handling their language when we come back. Dory Murdoch, don't go away.
People in our country now is elusive. You know, gone is the day of everyone thinking they could actually live the American dreams.
Gone is the day that everyone could live the American dream. It's just worth reminding folks that Kamala Harris is the vice president right now. And when she tries to talk about how we need to not go back, when she tries to talk about the future, she just skips over the fact that for the last 3.5 years, she has had access to power in ways only one other person outranks her. Here's more from her MSNBC interview with Stephanie Ruhle yesterday.
Just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people. And as Attorney General, I saw this happen in the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic, we saw it, where those few companies, not the majority, not most, but those few companies that would take advantage of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah, I'm going to go after them. Yes, I'm going to go after them. And that is part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
So when people are pushing back on her criticisms of grocery stores price gouging, and they're like, they're not price gouging, she's like, I will not apologize for going after price gougers. And it's like, okay, that's good. Go after people who price gouge. But you might want to do a little extra research on where the price gouging is actually happening.
Looking holistically at the connection between that and housing and looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing.
So her holistically word, that's the new word of the day. And she is a she gets a new word and she's going to deploy it until it sticks or it doesn't. And then she's going to get a new one.
Well, I don't know. This one's, I think, still in the trial phase. I think we might hear holistically a few more times.
Getting tired. In 30 seconds, she said it three times.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a timer going off in my brain and counting. It's interesting how, you know, we were on location yesterday at Ruler Foods, and this topic kind of came up about price gouging, you know, because we're right there where people are buying things. The people right now who are telling us, I'm going to fix the prices at private institutions, have never succeeded in the private market. They've never done it. Joe Biden hasn't. Kamala Harris may have worked a job at one point, but never really succeeded in private enterprise. And the guy that has succeeded in private enterprise apparently is so bad at the economy that the mainstream media won't even bring up his plans. It's just incredible that the evidence is right there in front of you and nobody will grab it.
I don't feel like when she goes out to speak, she does anything other than solidify what people already thought about her. Every time she has the opportunity to speak in front of people, it's like, well, yeah, yep, that seems to be more of the same. So she does have people out right now, these surrogates, these people who are out there to really push on trying to sell you the idea of Kamala Harris. It's usually combined with the reminder of your obligatory hatred of Donald Trump. But Mark Cuban, to me, is the weirdest of them all.
The media coverage has been so positive and almost, Mark, that it's like, we don't have to worry about trying to elect this guy who is clearly not up for another 4 years. And it's not Donald Trump. So they would have, the left and the people that need a candidate would have embraced anyone at that point. And you know, ABC, it was 100% positive coverage of her, 92% negative of Trump. So Elon says, what changed the media coverage?
Okay, first, what's the most watched news channel? Who are the most watched and viewed and listened to podcasts? Who are the most watched and listened to or
viewed? Is it Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
I mean, it's
not
close.
Fox?
Right? The number one shows are all Fox. The number one podcast,
so
Lean Right.
Even in spite of that, she's been able to.
Not in spite of that, yeah. Okay. Meaning the mainstream media is not who you think it is. The mainstream media truly leans right.
Maybe that's why it's only tied then.
So basically what Mark Cuban is doing there is giving the title of mainstream media to Fox News and saying their viewership is so big that they're mainstream. So, and they're right. So mainstream media is right. But the monster that was the Frankenstein monster that Fox News was and is now was created out of the ridiculous leftist bias of the network news and the cable news environment.
He also mentions, what are all the podcasts that people are listening to?
Yeah.
So you're talking at that point, you're not just talking about, oh, this environment, because, you know, it takes a lot of money to run a TV network. OK, I get there's barriers to entry for podcasts. There are a billion of them.
And not much barrier.
No, you can
maybe
do one.
Marketing.
Marketing. OK, but you can do one in your basement. Most people do.
Yeah.
There are so many podcasts. That is the true marketplace of where people are seeking out what they want to listen to. If the right-wing views are winning in podcasts, that means people are choosing to listen to that more than left-wing bias stuff.
Which means that
The people are choosing right-leaning things.
The people are right-leaning.
Okay.
That's the point, is that the people are right-leaning. And the fact that Kamala Harris isn't succeeding in the way that they think that she should, they're trying to blame it on media bias. They're trying to suggest that for some reason or another that Kamala Harris is not doing well because of the right-wing media bias that is out there. If you think Fox News is right-wing, Joe Rogan is like one of the people who he's talking about with podcasting, I'm sure. These people are having conversations from a genuine place, and their position, their perspective is usually just right of center. Joe Rogan is not a far right winger.
Oh, no, not at all.
He's a far libertarian, wherever that deploys, and that is on the right side of the aisle.
Yeah, it's become on the right side of the aisle.
Yeah, it's because if you're on the left, you want tyranny.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to overlord the lives of the people whose taxpayer dollars that you will never get enough of. Here's more from Mark Cuban.
Joe, you know there's a lot of COOs that when the CEO leaves for whatever reason, come in, take over, and have completely different policies and approaches, right? That's just the way it works. When you're second in command, you do what your boss tells you to do. He delegates authority to you.
But the border was supposed to be her.
Yeah, but it's still the same thing. It's his policies. What he said to her was you go down and you use diplomacy to try to improve, to try to reduce the flow, the migration of people across the border, right? And when they finally came around, and it took too long, I agree, but when they finally got there, now look at the results. It didn't take a wall, but yet the crossing numbers are where Trump's were when pre-pandemic, at the same number. So it worked. So what she did actually worked.
Kamala Harris, according to Mark Cuban, was the solution to the border.
It took her a long time. They didn't give her the tools that she needed, but she got it done. That's what he's saying.
Also, when you create legal status for people, when you manifest legal status for people and you streamline their ability to come in here, and then you start measuring what is an illegal crossing in a different way, you can't chart those numbers congruently. You can't watch parallel lines take off one way or the other when the measurements for the data points are different. That's pretty simple stuff. Even maybe a billionaire businessman like Mark Cuban. Is he a billionaire?
I think so.
I really don't want to inflate his wealth.
We'll say multimillionaire because that's true regardless.
Yeah, he's like a thousandaire.
Yeah. Yeah, you could say say whatever you want.
The YouTube poll for today is which candidate would be a greater liability for the Democrats. Is this an obvious one for you?
Yeah, it is.
Is it an obvious one for you, Brad?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I've got a really good one.
It is not for our audience. I'm shocked.
I haven't looked at results, but I've heard you mention that.
What do you think?
It seems obvious that Joe Biden is the worst candidate. I mean, he's not the candidate anymore. So he would be the greater liability. I mean, he was tanking as fast as you could. He was going down faster than gravity. And Kamala Harris has slowed that. I think she's coming down now, certainly after her highs, but she's definitely doing better than he was.
Do you remember when everybody was talking about like how high the Kamala Harris, like everybody was high on Kamala Harris?
Yeah.
Do you remember when we were acknowledging the fact that Donald Trump wasn't doing anything?
He said, "Let it happen." Kamala Harris?
No.
Or during? Like,
during
for the entire month of August, the Trump campaign sat idly by.
Yeah, it was like they were trying to figure out what to do.
I think that was the plan. Mm-hmm. We talked about this. The idea that you would let Kamala Harris go out there, have her day in the sun, put all of your positivity out there, let it cook, and then when the nomination was done and you were 100% sure that she was going to be the nominee, they would come back and start hitting her harder in September. Instead of trying to put out an effort against the natural high that is a convention, they didn't do that. And I think that was really smart. A lot of people were saying, like, why aren't they out there? Why aren't they pushing back? They don't know what they're doing. I think it was very intentional.
It's looking that way now.
Looked that way then.
That it was a smart move. Because they definitely had their big kind of inflated moment. And if the Trump campaign knew they were going to do that.
It's the convention.
Well, it's not just the convention, but it was everything. It was every media outlet. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, this woman's so unbelievable. They're still trying to do that, but it's like they're running out of gas right now.
The play.
Yeah, I'm saying that it worked. It's a very successful move. At the time, I'm not sure that I would have agreed with it, though.
I don't think you did agree with it.
I don't think I did.
I didn't think you agreed with it at the beginning of this segment.
I don't think I agreed with it at the beginning of this sentence.
Brad, you said it's pretty obvious to you, the worst candidate.
Yeah, Joe Biden. Joe Biden is the worst candidate because everybody has forgotten how bad Joe Biden was. The man, I don't know, I keep hearing the expression, he literally died on stage at the debate. He couldn't finish his...
I've not heard that.
Literally? Really?
Well, yeah, it's one person that keeps saying it over and over again, but he had such a bad debate, and then they whisked him off and they hit him on the beach in Delaware, that people have almost forgotten about how bad of a candidate he was. And every now and then he pops his head up and he puts a Trump hat on and makes a mistake, or he's like, Kamala and I are super excited with our success, and he touts his record. With Kamala Harris, they're able to separate themselves a little bit from the Biden record. They shouldn't be able to, because it's the Biden-Harris administration. But they're able to do that because it's Harris is the second name on that ticket. You put Biden back on there, everybody's going to look at him and say, this man is not competent, and everything that he did was terrible. So it's Joe Biden's the worst candidate.
I'm not going to tell you who's who, but the difference, we have 200 votes, is 46-54.
Wow.
It's super close. So you got to come tell us why you think what you think. It's clear that Kamala Harris is not the candidate that the left thought she was going to be. She's failing every time she has an appearance in front of a microphone or a camera. She's an embarrassment to the people who have really built her. It's kind of amazing to watch how everything has been laid out. Every obstacle has been moved out of the way for her. And her job is to learn the word holistically. you're botching this in a really, really bad way, and the polls are reflecting it. And you know, the people who watch polls regularly, Ryan, and know the that Trump, I think there's about a plus that Trump actually scores about 5 points better than he polls, and then people say that there's like a 1-3% regular measurement of cheating. So I feel like if Donald Trump's within 3 percentage points, if Harris is up by 3 percentage points, I consider that to be a tie, and it's even closer than that. So yeah, you can tell that the Kamala Harris people are scrambling while they're like slobbering, begging for another debate with Donald Trump. Like, oh, you gonna do it? Are you chicken? Are you scared? And Trump's like, no. He's just not interested in it. And the ironic thing is that the fear really, really exists in a big way with Kamala Harris, because she won't debate him anytime, anywhere. That's what Donald Trump has done. He took out one opponent in doing so, and he showed up and debated Kamala Harris again. And I really think it's interesting, too, how America really saw ABC. Like, they really did a number on America's trustworthiness in the media. Everybody saw, even if you were for Kamala Harris, it was like, yeah, they were totally not unbiased.
Oh, I said it that night. I came home from the debate from Dave and Buster's, walked in. My wife was still awake. I thought she'd be asleep. I said, you watch it. And she asked, well, what'd you think? I said, no, what'd you think before I say anything? And she's a communications teacher. She just analyzed it based on the facts. She's like, I don't even care politically. I was just watching their styles. ABC, or she didn't even say ABC, she didn't even know who it was. She said, those moderators, they just fact-checked Trump.
Yep. Literally.
That's not even
an exaggeration.
Yeah.
Literally. And America can see that. And you know what America hates? When it's not fair.
Yeah, everybody does.
America hates it when it's not fair. Let's take a quick break. We will continue this conversation on the other side of this break. We've got Jake Heaven coming in at 2:05. He is a candidate for Illinois' 112th State House District. He's running as a Republican. He's not a politician. He's not somebody who's been trying to seek public office in this capacity before. He just saw a need to represent the 112th District with some common sense, some trying to relate to the people in a way in the 112th district that they have not had under the Democrat leadership of Katie Stewart. So Jake Heaven in studio at 2:05, and we'll be back after this. Don't go away. Found the bottom of the bottle's always dry. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. I'm trying to find the story here of this so that I can read it to you. It's on Fox News. I'm going to share a picture on our YouTube live while I read the story. I don't know if you guys, you've been spending a lot of time on Twitter today?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. So a little time on Twitter.
A little time on Twitter today.
How much of my tweets do you read?
80-90%.
Is it a lie?
I have no idea. Yeah. I don't ever judge.
There's no requirement.
They just show up.
So there is this story about a sandwich that is going viral right now, and I am appalled. Here's the sandwich.
Oh, no.
This is from Fox News. Critics are crowing about Claude the Claw, a show-stopping Payean. Payean.
Payan?
I don't know. They're just trying to alliterate here, and I don't like it because I don't know how to say the word. To poultry performing under the bright lights of Broadway. Whatever.
Thank you, Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, this is Fox News. Give me a break here. It says, when do you ever see a chicken sandwich with the entire leg attached to it?
That's the first one.
It's like this hidden little sandwich shop run by a 2 Michelin star chef who's doing some crazy poo.
Of course this is some chef being like, I'm going to include the talon.
Bird Box opened in July. It's led by Chef Chris Blydorn and partner Artie Shetty.
Blyborn and Shetty. I never thought they'd get together.
The duo behind the Michelin-rated San Francisco restaurant, Birdsong. When I think of the word Birdsong, that's the opposite thing I think of image-wise of Birdsong. Is a sesame seed bun with a leg sticking out of it.
This is them trolling San Francisco,
no,
right?
This is them marketing.
My gosh.
But here we are. Claude the Claw is the signature item at their East Coast fried chicken hotspot. It's a crave-worthy sandwich filled with an entire chicken quarter, thigh, and drumstick you might find in any supermarket meat aisle. Why is there a bun on something that has bones in it? What do you do? How do you navigate this? I know how I don't.
This sounds to me like two chefs in San Francisco said, you think we're going to make any money on these claws? Let's send them to the East Coast. Yeah, don't do them at this restaurant.
Those people think that it's culture.
We'll just say that this is high-end food now. This is the garbage. They're just deep-frying the trash and putting a bun on it.
Would you eat it?
No.
Really?
I'd try it if people said it was good.
Oh, Ryan. But I was so proud of you having standards there for just a second.
Look, if enough people eat anything and they go, actually, it's pretty good, then I'm going to go, well, okay, then maybe I'm missing
Well, maybe
out.
The chicken part is really good. Are you wanting to go chomp chomp on that foot? It's a foot.
Look, I'm telling you from right now, my perspective would be, why would anybody eat that? But if, again...
Would you touch that?
Oh, I would touch it. I mean, it's just a claw. It's just a chicken leg. But it's...
In a sandwich!
It's so stupid. It's so dumb.
It says the Bird Box version still has the leg attached all the way down to the foot. The primitive profile made Claude the Claw destined for viral stardom in the Instagram era. Sometimes food achieves fame because it looks good, not necessarily because it tastes good. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I gotta say, that is one of the best things about sushi, though. It does taste good, but it is an art to look at it. Am I wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, back me up.
Is that it?
Come on.
It's not a very resounding confidence.
Once in a while, I'll be like, Brad, me and you against Danny.
Ryan,
this is one of those things.
This is kind of like, weird as it may sound, this is one of my pet peeves. The way food looks, I mean, outside of being extremely disgusting looking, looking delicious doesn't really occur to me.
Oh,
so I can't look at a sushi presentation and be like, I bet that tastes really good.
I can look at a sushi presentation and appreciate the visual of it. I just don't eat it.
They call it edible art at a lot of sushi places.
Is that how you order it?
I'm like, oh, what does that look like?
How do you talk when you order sushi?
I use my refined voice.
Which one is that?
The one where I say...
Have I ever heard that voice?
Does this have any tomago in it?
Tomato?
Tomago.
Tomago? Is that something
tomato.
Else?
Tomato. I just say tomatoes. Yeah, tamago. That's something I think you would like, Annie. I would say, if I were your waiter, I'd say, Annie, I know you haven't been to sushi restaurants before, but since you're here, perhaps we try tamago over a bed of rice.
Is it the movie Little Nicky where Adam Sandler's got that butler who keeps saying he's very, very sneaky?
That's Deeds.
Deeds, Mr. Deeds.
Yeah, Mr. Deeds.
And it's John Turturro. That's who the butler is. Yeah. Very, very sneaky.
I don't even know what Mr. Deeds was about, but I remember that line, and I say it anytime the word sneaky comes up, I will say very, very sneaky.
Was Mr. Deeds not about taking care of the two kids?
No. That's Big Daddy.
That's Big Daddy. Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Deeds
Those
is
are two
a
different movies.
Mr. Deeds is a remake of Mr. Deeds Goes to Town or something like
Goes
that.
Goes to Washington?
Washington? No.
I don't know. I really don't.
I believe Mr. Smith.
Mr. Smith goes to Washington. None of us have.
Our best segments are when we just speculate on things sequentially.
We have the entire world at our fingertips.
We don't know anything about said subject, and then we start talking about it, and then there's another thing that we don't know that's nestled into the other thing we don't know, and it takes us to 5650.
It's like Russian dolls.
Babushkas.
That's what those are called, for sure.
Jake Heaven running for Illinois' 112th House Representative seat in Illinois next. Don't go away.